It's good to see so many girls and boys here this morning. You know, I've discovered that there are quite a number of young people who are interested in the microscope. Now, it's a very fascinating instrument, isn't it? It reveals to us what we cannot see with the normal vision. And not only so, it is of educational value. And we discover some amazing things indeed. We haven't got the time to enter into some of the details that may be seen under the microscope. But I do remember seeing a photograph at one time of two items that had been placed under a microscope, very high power magnification. And one was the piece of a blade of grass, and the other was the safety razor blade. The blade of grass looked perfect, but the safety razor blade just looked like a cross-cut saw, needed the teeth sharpening, and there were blemishes and all kinds of marks on the steel. And the higher the magnification, well, those defects would be magnified. And so the microscope reveals quite a lot of interesting things in that way. And above all, it shows us the mighty wonders of God when we examine some of the insect parts and we examine some of the small things that cannot be seen with our naked eye. You know, if you go to McEwan's store in Bourke Street, Melbourne, if you have a look at the pavement in front of the main entrance, you will find a number of rectangular slabs. And on these slabs, there have been fixed brass plates. And you'll see on the brass plate, so-and-so, mentioning a particular name, was here and left his handprint. In another position, you'll see someone else was there and they left their footprint on this particular pad. I hope you've seen them. Some of you may. I can see some smiles on the faces. Well, you see, the people responsible for the handprint and the footprint were there. They were actually there in presence so that they could leave these marks behind them. And when we look at the microscope and all the wonderful things we can see beneath the microscope, we are reminded of God's wonderful creative work. And we can say that, as it were, he has left his handprint and his footprint, so that we have left in no doubt as to the marvelous God we have, the one who has created all things. You know, there are some people who say there is no God. How they can say it, I don't know. But the Bible has anticipated such people. And you know, the Spirit of God gives this description of them. It says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. A little while ago, I was listening to a tape-recorded message given by a Baptist minister in Northern Ireland. And during the course of his address, he gave the story of a Christian father and mother who lived in East Germany. And of course, they had to be very careful there in the expression of their faith. But they loved the Lord, and they had a little girl, and they wanted her to be trained up in the ways of the Lord. Well, they did what they could. And at last, they got the idea of getting a pass so that the little girl could go from East Germany over into the West. So after much ado, this path was gained, and the little girl found herself in the home of some friends in West Germany. They sent her to Sunday school, and in this particular Sunday school, they loved the Word of God, and they taught about the Savior. And this little girl was really very attentive to what was told her, until at last she accepted Christ as her Savior. Then the day came for her to return home. And when friends brought her to her mother, she put her arms around her mother and she said, Mother, I'm a Christian and I know it. I know what you believe now. Jesus is my Savior. Well, that was grand. It was a very happy home indeed, even though there were very terrible circumstances to be faced. Well, she had to go back to school. And you know what school is like sometimes? We don't like to go, do we? But in this particular place, it was a very, very upsetting type of experience. And this little girl, she had a teacher who was very, very hard-hearted. He had no sympathy. He was godless. He did not believe there was a God. And so the class was assembled, and the teacher said, "Now, I want every child in this class to stand up one by one, and you say with a good, clear voice, 'There is no God.' Now we'll start with you." The one person stood up, "There is no God." Another one, "There is no God." Another one, "There is no God." And at last he came to our little friend. She didn't stand up. He said, "What is the matter with you? Why don't you obey me? You stand up." She said, "Please, sir, there is a God. I know Jesus is my Savior." He said, "What impudence. Now listen, you go home, and tonight you get some paper, and you write out 500 times, 'There is no God, there is no God,' and you bring me those lines tomorrow morning." The little girl went home and told her father and mother. And Dad said, "Come, we'll tell the Lord about it." And so they prayed about the matter, and the little girl wrote out the lines, but she didn't put, "There is no God." She put down, "There is a God." And the next day she took the paper to school, and of course when the class was assembled, the teacher's first move was, "Have you got those lines?" And she showed them to him. "There is a God." She said, "Now look, I'll give you one more chance. You go home tonight and you write out 1,000 times, 'There is no God, there is no God,' and you bring me those lines tomorrow morning, so I'll kill you." Oh, he was really savage with her because of her disobedience, and he was an ungodly man and hated the living God. Well, she went home and explained to her father and mother what she had to do. And they said, "Well, come on, we'll tell the Lord about it." And they prayed. And then they decided the little girl should not do the lines this time. And she should go to school and just leave it all with God. But during the night, the father was troubled. And he said to his wife, "Look, I think I'll go along with my little girl. I'll support her, and we'll go to the school, and I'll see the headmaster." So the next day, she went along, no lines. Instead of going to the teacher, the father and the little girl went to the headmaster. And he said, "Sir, I have a problem." He said, "What is it?" He said, "My little girl has been threatened. Her life has been threatened. And the teacher said he would kill her if she didn't do a certain thing." "And what was it? What did she have to do?" And he explained to her that she had to write out 1,000 times, "There is no God." When he heard those words, he looked at the father, he looked at the girl. He said, "Well, that teacher will never teach in this school again. Last night he was out on his motorcycle and he crashed and he was killed instantly. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There was God's deliverance for a man who did not want God in his life, and so God took him at his word." And instead the threat of the little girl was never fulfilled. Oh, how wonderful are God's ways. And girls and boys, this morning I do want to tell you, it is very important that you accept Jesus Christ whilst you're young. You see, you're not always going to be so high. You're going to grow. As you eat, you grow and grow bigger. And you're going to go out into the world, you're going to learn a trade or a profession. You're going to meet with people who practice sin in their lives. And if you're not rooted and grounded with the power of Christ, you're going to fall into sin. There's nothing to save you from it. because the devil is too strong for girls and boys and men and women. So I do trust that early in life you will listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And when you have the strength of Christ with you, you can say no to that which is of evil. So may God help you to remember that He is the great God, the one who has created all things, and above all, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for you because He loved you, and He wants you to serve Him and to follow Him all the days of your life. May God help you to respond to those words.